This is MSONewsSports.com. I'm Bill Newell, and we are joined by Massachusetts State Auditor Diana DeZoglio. And Diana, welcome. Thanks so much for joining us once again.
Bill, it's great to be back. Thank you so much for the gracious invitation to join you today. Hope everyone's having a great day.
All right, so here we go. Let me get to, we got a lot of things to cover here. Give me the latest on the legislature audit, the legislative audit, and the ballot question. Where do you stand on that to try to move this audit forward?
Yeah, so as many folks may have heard, the Office of State Auditor is state legislature currently, but we've been facing, unfortunately, tremendous pushback from legislative leaders who believe that they should not be audited by our independently elected office, where we audit every other state entity. They believe that they should not be one of the entities that is audited, and they have been pushing back tremendously and refusing to produce documents to our office to assist us in doing our jobs on behalf of you, the taxpayers. We do find that unfortunate. However, we are still proceeding with conducting the audit that I did commit to doing along the campaign trail for nearly 2 years before I was elected to this seat. And we are working hard on making sure that commitment is fulfilled. Unfortunately, because legislative leaders are denying us access to certain documents that we need in order to make sure that it's a complete audit, we may have some scope regarding what is actually going to be able to include it, and will be, of course, marking that all down for everybody to see, what was requested, what was denied, and, what we were able to actually get to assist us in our efforts regarding increasing transparency, accountability, and accessibility to what's happening up on Beacon Hill behind those closed doors amongst our elected leaders using our tax dollars. Now, what are we doing to try to make sure that we do get access to those documents moving forward? Well, we did petition the state's attorney general to take this matter to court, which under our governing statute, the courts are the place where this decision is to be made. We petitioned the AG to defend us in court to make sure that taxpayers could get access to the documents that we are requesting. Attorney General sided with legislative leaders and actually is opposing our push to take this matter to court to ensure this audit gets done. So we've decided to take this issue to the ballot. And we are just getting over a period in time where we collected over 75,000 signatures from everyday folks across our communities that want to make sure that our legislature receives an audit like every other state entity. And we did successfully get those 75,000 signatures to make sure this issue gets on the ballot in the 2024 elections. We have one round of signature collections left that's coming up in May in order to make sure that you, the voters, have the opportunity to vote on what you think about making sure that the legislature here in Massachusetts receives an audit, what you think about increasing transparency up on Beacon Hill. And obviously, I, for one, hope to earn your support on that ballot question to make sure that this gets done. But the choice will be up to the voters of Massachusetts in November of 2024 when you go to vote. As long as we can get another 12,000 signatures in May. So if anybody's interested in helping, Bill, that's listening today, I strongly encourage them to reach out to me at Diana@DiannaDeZoglio.com. Please visit my website, DianaForMA.com, if you'd like to sign up to participate in helping to collect signatures to get this issue on the ballot. If you believe that the legislature should be more transparent about how our tax dollars are being spent, if you'd like to see an audit conducted, I would greatly appreciate your support. We can't do this without you. We need the support of the people to get this done. And that's where we stand.
All right, Diana, we will have links up to both your webpage, the one you just mentioned, your personal one, as well as the state auditor's page with all the details on some of these audits that you've been talking about. Let me just jump to a few of them. I know our time's not too long here today, but the welfare audit, that was in the news just in the past week. Where do you stand on the wealth? What, tell us, our listeners, about that one with mass welfare audits.
Well, our office actually has a Bureau of Special Investigations within the Office of the State Auditor. And what our Bureau of Special Investigations, for short, we call it BSI, what BSI does is they work to root out waste, fraud, and abuse in government programs that provide assistance to families in need to make sure that people aren't abused programs that the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, you the taxpayers, provide to residents who truly are in need, who truly do need that hand up. And we look at the different programs, we look at how they're operating, how they're functioning, but this particular unit in my office does do special investigations regarding instances of fraud, where there are alleged fraud cases, alleged cases where, you know, people are, in contact with their office, potential abuse that they may have seen occurring, and they want to report it to our office. So if you go to our website, you're actually able to report potential abuse of a taxpayer-funded government program. And if you believe something and abusing a government program, you know, we do that you all us know that that's occurring. And then our Bureau of Special Investigations matter to make sure that our government programs are helping people who are truly in need, those who need the services, who need the programs, and that we are not wasting our taxpayer dollars on folks who choose to abuse the programs that are set up to help families who are truly in need. So we did find several million dollars this year, and I know that Bill's going to put the link up on the website for anybody who wants to look at the full report. But we did find several million dollars in instances of waste, fraud, and abuse. And what happens is when we identify those instances of fraud, we do refer them back to those agencies for which the fraud was committed under or with, and make recommendations and work with them to make sure that those dollars are hopefully recovered and justice. Doing great work in our Bureau of Special Investigations. We have worked to uncover a tremendous amount of waste, fraud, and abuse. And the more money that we save if we, you know, stop that waste, fraud, and abuse from occurring, the more dollars that is that can be used for programs that we truly need in our communities, our education programs, our transportation programs, making sure that we can fund our local community centers.
All right. You know, the best thing I heard so far, Diana, today is that BSI, you've got the initials. That sounds great. Could be a TV show down the road here, I think, right?
The Bureau of Special Investigations in the Auditor's Office.
Yeah, okay.
Popular show on HBO or something.
Yeah, there you go. Anyway, I think a nice transition would be to Mass Health. Tell me about where are you on Mass Health? There's some information there, right?
I'm sorry, did you say Mass Health?
Yes, Mass Health, yes.
Yeah, apologies, you cut out for a second. My reception is spotty. But yes, we did complete an audit regarding Mass Health this past year, and I am just coming up on my first year in office here. It's an exciting time. I can't believe it, but it's still been just under a year, and we're just coming up on a year in office. So it's been a really exciting opportunity. And this, over this last year, we did conduct an audit of MassHealth, and we did unfortunately find in our audit of MassHealth an estimated nearly $85 million in overpayments regarding out-of-state residents receiving health care benefits from Massachusetts. Now, to break this down, it wasn't actually the people themselves who were, necessarily abusing any sort of a system that were living out of state. It was actually managed care organizations, sort of the middle people in between, you know, state and the folks receiving the services. There was a breakdown in communication where these managed care organizations were not being accountable regarding who is still living in state and who is no longer living in state. So payments were going out from the state to managed care organizations who were receiving this money on behalf of out-of-state residents who no longer were receiving services in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. And the way that we found out that they weren't receiving services because, well, they were enrolled in other states' health care programs. So they were receiving health care in another state in which they were living, and MassHealth had not yet taken them off of the rolls here in Massachusetts. So funds were still going out to these managed care organizations on behalf of people who don't live here. And that's incredibly unfortunate, very disappointing, and frankly disturbing, considering the great, tremendous need that we have for healthcare services here in Massachusetts, so many folks in need. Certainly, we want to make sure that we are not wasting those tax dollars on folks who don't need those services and are actually receiving those services in different states, especially when it's to the tune of an estimated nearly $85 million in those overpayments. So we did produce that report that can also be found on my website, which Bill is going to link up on his website. And your thoughts. We do audit MassHealth quite often, but definitely these findings, you know, we can't get to the bottom of what's happening unless we hear from you, the people of Massachusetts, about, you know, what you've seen regarding some of these entities and what we should be examining. So we are working with Health and Human Services and this new administration to hopefully address these challenges. We have called on MassHealth to make sure that they are addressing this issue. They were not the most receptive to these findings. It was quite a difficult conversation when we did release this report. I wish that it was a more cooperative experience that we received from MassHealth. But in more recent weeks, it seems that we are seeing them operate more in a spirit of cooperation, and that is encouraging as we do hope to remedy some of these challenges, and we do hope that you know, MassHealth systems will be set up for success to save taxpayer dollars so that we can invest in, again, those programs that you know, will really benefit those who are actually in need.
We are talking with State Auditor Diana DeZoglio. Diana, I'm going to just hop very quickly to our next you know, investigation, if you will. Tell me about the Sex Offender Registry Board investigation.
So the Sex Offender Registry Board in Massachusetts exists, you know, to make sure that residents are protected and that, you know, we have sex offenders here in Massachusetts registered. It's in the title, Sex Offender Registry Board. So what ended up happening is when our office went in and conducted an audit of the Sex Offender Registry Board, we found very unfortunate findings that many folks who were sex offenders, alleged sex offenders here in Massachusetts, that when they went through the process regarding the Sex Offender Registry Board's process, that they were not getting assigned levels in the time frame that is necessary in order to make sure that Massachusetts residents are protected and that folks know what's happening and that, you know, folks can take measures to understand where folks are located, what level they might be regarding their sex offense. And that just wasn't happening. Folks weren't receiving levels in time to make sure that public safety was paramount in the conversation. So folks were getting released from, you know, prison or, you know, getting on the streets, and they weren't given a sex offender level yet. Now we're talking, you know, this is very problematic. We need to know, you know, what somebody's level is, level three, level four. That type of information is very important to have in order to ensure public safety for communities, families. And that information was not actually being provided. Those sex offenders were not receiving those letters in many circumstances, in too many circumstances. Furthermore, there is supposed to be a system regarding being able to track sex offenders once they are released. And that was also lacking tremendously and needs a lot of work. Folks could not verify within the Sex Offender Registry Board the actual and real locations of many of the sex offenders that were supposed to be registered with the board. You know, again, one of the points of making sure that these folks are registered, where they are, what level of sex offense occurred, so as to promote public safety. You can't do that effectively if you don't actually know where these folks are living and working. So The Sex Offender Registry Board, you know, does exist to help promote public safety, but unfortunately, you know, there were some tremendous challenges and shortfalls when we did conduct that audit. We have made a set of several recommendations to assist them in addressing the lack of classification of these sex offenders and to help more quickly be able to locate these sex offenders and make sure that they are aware fully of where they are living and working. And we hope that they adopt these recommendations. So we are working with the, you know, public safety department and with the Sex Offender Registry Board to make sure these issues are addressed. And we hope that the administration will really take this matter seriously and get these issues resolved. So we are working on that, of course. And I do see that we are coming up on our time here, Bill.
Yep, yep.
And I just do want to make sure that folks know that, you know, we in the auditor's office, you might not hear about us as much, or if you do, it's probably because you're hearing about that audit of the culture that's occurring. But just know that as important as that audit is, we do a lot of work across state government to ensure transparency, accountability, and equity regarding your tax dollars. It is our goal in the auditor's office to make government work better. We go into agencies, we go into entities, we examine their processes, we examine their procedures, we examine what they are called to do on behalf of taxpayers, and then we work hard to make sure that those promises that are made to taxpayers, just like you, that those promises are actually being kept and that they're being fulfilled. Again, in an effort to make government work better on all of our behalves, regardless of our family background, our bank balance, or our zip code here in Massachusetts, to make sure we get appropriate services from government and that our tax dollars are being protected and spent efficiently, wisely, and effectively. We can't do any of that work without you, so feel free to contact me, Diana DiZoglio, at any time in my office. We'd love to hear from you. And Bill, it's always great to be on. I hope you all have a great day today.
All right, Diana, thank you so much for your time and all your work, as a matter of fact. So again, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much, Phil. Talk to you soon.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, State Auditor Diana DiZoglio with us here on MSONewsSports.com.